The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, another show where we get to talk about the struggling Patriots offense and whether or not we can trust the Rams offense. That's coming up later when Will Brinson joins the show along with Chris Towers. Right now, it's time for some injury updates as we welcome you to the Fantasy Football Today Road Tour presented by Little Caesars. Pizza for dinner tonight? How about ordering your favorite online from Little Caesars and using Pizza Portal Pickup? It's the latest, greatest, and hottest way to pick up a pizza without even going to the register. I'm Adam Azer, and I'm joined by Dr. David Chow of ProFootballDoc.com and at ProFootballDoc. How was your Thanksgiving, Dr. Chow?
Oh, it was good. I got the side eye from my wife when I had just sat down at the dinner table for Thanksgiving, and then Amari Cooper did his acrobatic flip. I got it for the table to check that out, and I kind of got the side eye, but all good.
That's great. Yeah, no, at my wife's brother's house where we go for Thanksgiving, they know the TV is going to be out. I'm going to be watching football. It's just, you know, it's Thanksgiving. We got to work, man.
Yeah, you know, and I'm saying, I mean, I don't know why the NFL, I get that they don't want Friday night football because of high school. I get they stay out of Saturdays for college. But why can't we have three games on every Saturday in December?
We should, yeah, well, we'll get some, but we should have more. Yeah, I like, let's get some more Saturday. I love Saturday football, absolutely. So we talked off the air, not the worst week for fantasy relevant injuries anyway, but the Chiefs running back is a bit of a mess. Damian Williams has a rib injury. Daryl Williams seems like he's not going to play this week at New England with a hamstring injury. What do you think about, I guess, Damian and Daryl right now and their diagnosis?
Well, Damian Williams has an anterior rib injury, and those are painful. It's something that Emmanuel Sanders is going through and trying to break out of still for the 49ers. It's something that Julian Edelman went through earlier this season. The rib cartilage is more painful than actually the rib bone, and actually heals more slowly. And so it's not surprising that Damian Williams still will be out with that. And then Daryl Williams, the other Williams, on TV, they said right hamstring. I'm not buying that. First of all, it's not right. It's left. Second of all, it would be a shock and a pleasant surprise to me if it was just hamstring. If it's hamstring is part of the posterior lateral corner / LCL, and they're just phrasing it as hamstring, I could buy that. I'm worried for a ligament issue. I'm not saying he's done or needs major reconstructive surgery, but there is some significant worry the way his left foot got caught, non-contact injury, and his knee buckled. Worry for the LCL and a little bit for the ACL. And he did tweet, you know, that he's good. He'll be fine. But does he mean he'll be fine this Sunday or week one next year or when, you know? So fingers crossed there. I don't think he's out of the woods yet.
Well, I know we're constantly looking at players who are recovering from injuries. Saquon Barkley and Darius Geis. Barkley had 19 carries for 83 yards, 3 catches for 32 yards against the Packers. Darius Geis had a huge game. He had a 60-yard run. He had 129 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. Are you seeing healthy running backs in New York and Washington?
Yeah, I think Saquon Barkley, I saw a little bit of him, not the entire game. He looked healthy to me when he was in there. If anything, you know, the score became a little bit out of hand where perhaps Saquon's touches maybe were affected a little bit given the score of the game. But Darius Geis, that's one to look out for. I was very, very negative. I shouldn't say negative. I'm not negative on Darius Geis. I was very dubious on his left knee injury, his preseason rookie year ACL tear that whose surgery got infected, and then he ended up having multiple arthroscopy washout surgeries. He was starting behind the eight ball there in terms of what he had. And that's why in the preseason injury preview, I said, you know, season long fantasy, don't draft Darius Geis. Or if you are drafting him, you're stashing him for the later half of the season when that ACL turns around. Turns out that he immediately week one tore his meniscus in the right knee, ended up on injured reserve for another 8+ weeks. And now finally is hitting his stride. And that injured reserve stint may not have been the worst thing for him. It gave him a chance to rehab the left knee as well as to get the right knee healthy from the scope. And 10 carries, 129 yards, 2 touchdowns yesterday. Of course, it didn't hurt that he was running against a hampered Gerald McCoy and an absent Dontari Poe for the Panthers up front.
Oh, yeah. One of the worst run defenses in football. But it's good to see it from Geis. And we want to see him get more carries because he had 10 and Adrian Peterson had, I think, 12. But, you know, hopefully he can get some more work and starting to look good. Now, the Falcons have a game against the Panthers this weekend. They did not have Julio Jones on Thursday. They did not have Austin Hooper for the last few weeks. Do you think we'll see Hooper or Julio this week?
I think Hooper is trying to target this for his comeback. So this will be 4 weeks. So hopefully Hooper will make it back for the fantasy football playoffs here. Julio is iffier. Julio could have played the Thanksgiving game, I think, with an injection. But, you know, he had an AC joint sprain, a separated shoulder. But, you know, to be fair to Julio, he's their franchise guy. And it's a lot to ask someone when the team only has 3 wins, is clearly out of it, to take an injection to play the game. So I think Julio can and will return this season, but only when he can play through without any injection or anything like that.
All right. Well, the latest we saw, Dan Quinn said he was trending upward in terms of his availability for this week's game. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on Julio Jones. And obviously, if he's out, we'll certainly look at Russell Gage. Adam Thielen, not going to play tonight against the Vikings on Monday Night Football. Or excuse me, against the Seahawks. He won't play against the Vikings either. But, you know, it's a bit of a tease for Adam Thielen. I'm sure he wants to get 100% healthy. We've seen him have some setbacks. What are we looking at with Thielen?
Yeah, and I think that's the point. Hamstrings, you can make it worse. The last thing you want to do is play him in Seattle and have it get worse or a setback and then miss him for the rest of December. So I think they're doing the smart thing. Remember, he tried to come back early and had a setback when he started, I think, the second week after his injury. And then even this last week, midweek, he had a little bit of a setback. So fool me once, you know, shame on you. Fool me twice, right? Shame on me. So I don't think the Vikings are going to be fooled with more setbacks. That's why they didn't even bring him on the trip to Seattle, so that probably it would take away the temptation of Thielen lobbying everyone to try and play. But I think he does have a chance next week to play.
Okay. Fingers crossed. Certainly fingers crossed there for Adam Thielen. And how about A.J. Green? John Ross is going to be active this week. A.J. Green, will he come back? I mean, we could be looking at some big weapons here for Andy Dalton. But we haven't seen A.J. Green this year. Will week 14 be the week?
I don't know. If the Bengals were playing for something, I think A.J. Green could be ready. He's probably in the 90s, but he's not 100. A month ago, when everyone thought he was coming back and he said his ankle swelled up and was sore, I saw him. I didn't see him directly, but I saw a video of him working out pregame. And at that point in early November, I said, well, shoot, he doesn't look right on his left ankle at all. He's going to be another month. Now that month has passed, and I think he could be ready to go. But the words out of there is A.J. Green saying, look, I want to be 100% when I come back. And that's a high threshold. And with nothing really to play for right now, I'm not sure that he plays until he really is close to 100%. And I thought he would want to play to be able to show the world as he enters free agency what he can do. But in a discussion I had on Sirius with Mark Dominic, former GM of the Bucks, he says if he were GM, he's seen enough out of A.J. Green in the past that he'd sign him to a big deal just on a physical, sight unseen on the field. So, you know, more to think about there in terms of if and when A.J. Green will come back.
I think it would be so interesting if he comes back in week 16, which is the fantasy championship, and he faces the Dolphins, and how much confidence fantasy owners would have to start AJ Green. But we'll have to wait and see. And Dr. Chow, it's great to speak to you again. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you always, Adam.
We are going to take a quick break and talk about the Patriots, talk about the Rams, and give you three running backs, three quarterbacks, and three wide receivers who will help you win your fantasy league and who will lead you to defeat. That's after this on Fantasy Football Today. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Today, everybody. It's time to dig into some numbers, see who we like rest of season. 3 or 4 weeks left. Chris Towers, do you play into week 17 in any leagues?
Absolutely not. I am a good person, upstanding member of the community, and as such, I do not play until week 17.
So why do we do it in baseball? That's what I said. Like, just stop with baseball. End the season early, right?
I think baseball, the fantasy baseball season should end in August. Frankly.
Right, I agree. And obviously, Chris is not the only person we have on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome special guest, Will Brinson.
If you were going to do that, wouldn't you have like said it was someone who was a special guest? And then play the Rick Roll music.
This
and
isn't
then
Rick Roll. This is not the Rick Roll music. This is Together Forever. It sounds exactly
That's
like
the same
it.
Song.
Yeah, it, basically. What's up, Will?
First of all, I'd like to be addressed as three-time editorial baseball league champion, Brinson. Back to back to back to back. Back to back to
Just
back.
Just three of those. Yeah, three of those.
Week 17 is for clowns and losers.
Agreed. Hey, is anybody going to beat the Ravens, or are they just basically Super Bowl champions already?
I anticipate that there will be at least some games to be played in the playoffs.
Okay.
They will lose at least one game rest of the season, is my hot take.
Will it be in the regular season or the postseason?
There's no way of knowing, Adam. I can't foresee the future.
All right. Well, what are we talking about on today's show? I'm going to give you three running backs, three quarterbacks, three wide receivers. We're going to determine who's the most likely to win you a league and the most likely to lose you a league. We're going to talk about the Patriots offense and the Rams offense. Let's start with the Patriots offense. Our first of our five big topics, can you trust any Patriots players other than Julian Edelman? And their remaining schedule, Kansas City at home, at Cincinnati, Buffalo, and then Miami in week 17. So, Chris, I'll give you the first word. Can you trust any Patriots players other than Julian Edelman?
Maybe James White. I mean, he had been pretty consistent for the first, 8 weeks of the season. You were getting about 40 to 60 receiving yards, a couple of games above, a couple of games below, not much rushing production. Then he had this weird swoon, and then yesterday he was awesome. Was one of the, might have been the top running back of the week, had 180 all-purpose yards. I think he's probably in that conversation. But beyond that, no, I don't think there's anybody else. I mean, Tom Brady ended up with 29 fantasy points last night, but it was a slog getting there. And at least one of the touchdowns he threw and had about 70 yards on that drive was pretty clearly garbage time. The other one was, quasi-garbage time.
In defense, or not defense, but if you're going to rip Brady for garbage time,
sure,
touchdowns, you got to point out that James White had both of his touchdowns in garbage time too. So
sure,
they don't get that. They get there at the same. They get there at the same spot, I think. I mean, without. Look, I don't know.
Wait,
I just don't know.
Wait,
that you,
is that true? Because Edelman had the garbage time touchdown.
I think one of White and a bunch of yards. He had like a 36-yard catch on one of them, and yeah.
Right. He had 8 carries and 5 catches after it was 21-3. Before that, he had 6 carries and 3 catches. And the Texans, by the way, give up the most receiving yards to running backs and the most receptions to running backs. So it was a good matchup for him anyway. But I'm not, you know, he has not been a guy that's really where the matchups have mattered. If Tom Brady wants to throw the ball to James White, James White's probably going to have a good game. But Will, what do you think? Can anybody be trusted? Look, Kansas City, you know, in Foxborough, the Chiefs defense is certainly better than it was last year, but they still struggle sometimes on the road. And then Cincinnati the following week, they have a terrible defense. So, you know, like Tom Brady's leading the league in pass attempts. Do you think we can trust him or anyone other than Edelman? And Sony Michel, we should talk about him too. What do you think, Will?
I think you can trust Tom Brady in week 14 because it's going to be pretty difficult to be involved in a football game with the Kansas City Chiefs and not have Brady throw 25 times is the absolute floor, I would think. And that's if the Patriots are up early and running the ball effectively. I would not be afraid to start Sony Michel in week 14. I wouldn't want to do it. I'd rather have better options. But like if you're in a case where you have to, you know, you just don't have a better running back to toss out there, I think that he's a viable option because of how Kansas City plays. And I agree with Chris that James White is someone you can use too, because I think they'll try, like they're going to have to go back to the drawing board. This offense is a disaster. I mean, Julian Edelman, if you double Julian Edelman, you're basically forcing Jacoby Myers, Philip Dorsett, and Mohamed Sanu, the latter two guys who are really banged up right now. And Myers is in, you know, like went to a great college, but he's an undrafted free agent. And none of these guys just aren't on the same page as Tom Brady. They don't have the reps to do it. And so I think that what you're looking at is a situation where they're going to have to try and redo the offense. And maybe that involves incorporating James White more. You know, maybe that involves trying to use Matt Lacoste more. I don't know what they're going to
do. You know what it could involve? What do you think about this? They go out and get Antonio Brown back.
He's not clear.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
He can't play. He's not cleared by the NFL.
When is that going to happen?
Roger Goodell gets done dragging his sweet feet through the turf and at the end of the regular season, probably.
And there's no reason for them to make a decision right now. Anyway, it's not like he's on a team. There's no outside pressure on it. And, you know, the one question I wrote a winners and losers column for CBS Fantasy this morning, kind of looking ahead to 2020 and some dynasty thoughts. And one of the thoughts I had was, is there anyone on the Patriots who would even be a top 50 dynasty pick right now?
Oh, I don't know.
Kill Harry would be, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of wide receivers out there who have actually produced.
First round pick, though. I mean, it's not his fault that he hasn't produced, really. He's missed most of the year. I think he would be. What about Damian Harris? I mean, Sony Michel, I think the answer's probably no. Look, it's a bad offensive line. Sony Michel is not having a good year, obviously. He hardly ever breaks a long run. But
also, who's throwing? Who's the next guy throwing to N'Keal Harry, too? That's the other problem with
That's the thing.
Yeah.
We just don't know what this – like. It wouldn't shock me if this was Tom Brady's last season. I know he's talked about playing until he's 50, but he doesn't look like he's going to play until he's 45 right now.
All right. So I think the answer is Edelman, maybe James White, and, well, you know, could be Tom Brady this week. He did score 29 or 30 fantasy points on Sunday night. Let's give him credit for that. And his previous three games were against Baltimore, Philadelphia, and Dallas. At least two, maybe three tough matchups in there, depending on which Eagles team shows up on a weekly basis. Kansas City will be easier for him, certainly. And I think, you know, one of the takeaways from last night, even though the numbers might not reflect it, when Will, I'd love to get your thoughts. I think the Texans' pass defense is probably pretty good. They've got a lot of good defensive backs.
Yeah, it is. We talked about this on the Pick 6 podcast, our daily NFL CBS Sports podcast that you can subscribe to on Apple Podcasts.
Oh, thank you for reminding us. Yes.
No problem. I don't plug it enough on this show. And yeah, I mean, look, they went out and got, you know, they signed Bradley Roby this offseason. They picked up Vernon Hargraves off waivers. You know, they traded for Gary and Conley. These are all misfit, not former number one overall picks. But between them and Jonathan Joseph, they're actually doing pretty well. And Romeo Crennel is doing a nice job incorporating these guys into his scheme. You saw how they took away Edelman. Yeah, and the run defense has fallen off a cliff a little bit. And once J.J. Watt left, once he got injured, excuse me. So, yeah, I don't hate their pass defense. But, I mean, I don't know if it's elite. I think you can throw on them. I think the Patriots just don't have any weapons, honestly.
All right, our next topic, the Rams offense. What's going on with the Rams? How much do we trust them? By the way, you heard Will talk about the Pick Six podcast. We have a lot of other podcasts. You can check them out, cbssports.com/podcast. Check out our full listing there and ways to subscribe as well. Also, Apple Podcast Mailbag, if you want to leave us a review and a question in Apple Podcasts Wednesdays and Saturdays, we will read those questions. And here's another question before we talk about the Rams, but have you ordered a pizza online from Little Caesars yet? If not, you're missing out on Pizza Portal Pickup. What is Pizza Portal Pickup? It's like getting a pizza right out of the oven yourself. You walk in, you enter a code on the portal, a door opens, and you're off with your favorite pizza. And whatever pizza you order, it'll have crazy, crazy amounts of toppings. So it's fun. Give it a try, but it's only available at Little Caesars Pizza Pizza. So Tom Tracy on Twitter wants to know our thoughts on the Rams offense. We did talk about this a little bit on last night's show, but let's get into it again as they have a big, big game against the Arizona Cardinals, winning 34-7. And I don't really trust the Rams offense unless they have a great matchup. How about you?
Yeah, I think the thing you need to do when you look at, and look, I'm guilty of this. I picked the Cardinals to win this game this weekend, and that was stupid. I should have seen this coming. When you look at what the Rams do, they are more than capable and more than willing to lob up points on bad defenses. They put up 30 in the first week against the Panthers. They put up 27 in week two against the Saints before the Saints really got good, and that was that Breeze injury game, so it was kind of weird. 20 against the Browns, not that great. Browns had a good defense. 40 against the Bucks, bad defense. 29 against the Seahawks. 7 against the 49ers. 37 against the Falcons. 24 against the Bengals. And then 34 against the Cardinals. And in between that, 12, 17, and 6 against the Steelers, Bears, and Ravens. It's a very clear split between teams who can get after the passer and who have good defenses, really limit Jared Goff, put pressure on him, and they can't do what they want to do. And then bad defenses, the Rams just eat alive. So I think you really have to look at what is the matchup. How are they going to be able to run the ball? Are they going to be able to run the ball effectively? Will they get protection in time for Goff? How is the secondary that he's going against? And are, you know, Cooks, Woods, and Kupp all healthy? And if they are, then, you know, I think they can operate functionally. I think they know how to attack weaknesses, and we should have seen that coming after that bad game on Monday night, but you just can't start them in week. You can't start any of those guys in week 16 at the 49ers in what's going to be a huge game for playoff implications between the 49ers and the Seahawks. So don't bank on them for your championship is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They've got enough guys.
What about weeks 14 and 15 though, Chris? Seattle at home and then Dallas on the road.
I think it's more about the individual player. So like, I think Brandon Cooks is off the table at this point. Mm-hmm. But you know, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, I think are both viable starting options. You know, I think they've kind of switched roles. Early in the season, it was Kupp who was dominating targets and putting up these huge numbers. Lately, it's been Robert Woods. They've been doing a really good job of getting the ball in his hands. And then I will say, I think if Gerald Everett's knee injury, I think it's a knee injury, keeps him out in week 14, they've actually started throwing the ball to their tight ends a lot this year. They had 84 targets to their two tight ends last year. They're already up to 100 this year. We've seen when Higbee was out, Everett was really good. When Everett goes out, obviously it's the best matchup of all time, the Arizona Cardinals. But, you know, 107 yards, 7 catches, and a touchdown, that's not just the matchup. They've been using their tight ends. So I do think there are guys in this offense that, looking ahead to week 14 against the Seahawks, I would use. Now, Jared Goff, I don't know. There's a lot of really good fantasy options at quarterback. So I think he's probably, if I had to guess, in the 15 range.
Yeah, I don't really trust him at all. I mean, he's shown, he had like 11 fantasy points combined in his previous three games.
Yeah.
You know, he had, do you have it in front of you by any chance? What did he had 3 straight games with 3 to 4 fantasy points at Pittsburgh, Chicago,
Baltimore.
Yeah, he
didn't have,
so I think it was 11.
He didn't have a touchdown in 3 games. He didn't pass for more than 243 yards. Yeah, he was awful.
Yeah, so terrible. And so he has that ability to be that bad.
His per game numbers in that 3 game stretch: 61.5% completion, 209 passing yards, 0 touchdowns, 1.7 interception per game, 58.9 passer rating, 6 sacks.
Right.
Not good.
Right. So look, Seattle, good quarterbacks usually score about 20, 22 fantasy points against Seattle. Dallas at home is pretty tough typically, but Josh Allen just went in there and had a big game. San Francisco should be tough. I, you know, and then as far as Gurley goes, he's doing a little bit better lately.
You're starting him.
Well, yeah, you are for touchdowns. You're starting him. He scores most of the time. The wide receivers are, you know, as you said, Cooks, you cannot trust Brandon Cooks. He's 84% owned. And if this were midseason and people were, yeah, right, exactly. People were, his ownership won't go down that much right now because, you know, most teams are eliminated, but he should be like 40% owned probably. And Robert Woods, man, Robert Woods had 19 targets. He's got 80 or more yards in four of his last five games. Cooper Kupp, 6 for 65 and a touchdown on 6 targets at Arizona. Is that really that great of a game when you consider how bad Arizona is? He's had 53 or fewer yards.
It's pretty good when Robert Woods had 19 targets.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Kupp has not been the slam dunk that we want him to be.
Well, let's not forget, too, that Arizona is probably the worst team in the league at covering tight ends, and they prominently feature Tyler Higbee in this game.
But that's a change that they've made to their offense. That's one thing that, like, they're going to target their tight ends in a way that, like, what we saw the last couple of years was a highly concentrated offense with just those three guys, basically, and then Todd Gurley. So it was Cooks, Kupp, and Woods. And I guess 3 years ago it was Sammy Watkins instead of Cooks. But, you know, it's been that way for a couple of years. And now we're seeing, you know, a little less to the running backs, but a lot more to the tight ends. And that's changed. There's just not enough, I think, for three starting fantasy options at wide receiver. There might not be enough for two slam dunk guys.
I think the reason why is not only do they like Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee, but also the offensive line can't win run blocking by itself like it could the last 2 years. Yeah. People kind of figured out how to walk guys down. You can stop the outside zone run. And as a result, the offense hadn't been as effective. So I think that's sort of been McVay's. It's turning like, it's like he's like making the shift like DK Metcalf turns around on a route, but like he's like slowly figuring out to incorporate the tight ends more. The running game's still not going great. I would feel comfortable starting him against Dallas because I think that game should turn into a shootout. Although Dallas's offense could, you know, struggle against the Rams. Honestly, I would want to see Seattle versus Minnesota on Monday night, see how Seattle looks with or without Jadeveon Clowney before I made a final call on what to do with Jared Goff and the Rams.
All right, time for three Twitter polls, basically. Who's most likely to win you your league out of these three quarterbacks, then three running backs, then three wide receivers? And I didn't ask this on Twitter, but I will ask you also who's most likely to lose you your league. So let's start with quarterback. The three options, who's most likely to win you a league and most likely to lose you a league? Kyler Murray. He is facing Pittsburgh next week, then Cleveland, then at Seattle. Ryan Tannehill has the best schedule, it would seem, at Oakland, Houston, and New Orleans. Josh Allen has the worst schedule by far. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and New England. And he, you know, if not for this great game against Dallas last time out, you know, we might. And then Denver the week before, he had scored 22 fantasy points. You know, I'm not sure how much we'd like Josh Allen right now, but he's earning a longer look. So who's most likely to win you a league and most likely to lose you a league? Kyler Murray, Ryan Tannehill, Josh Allen, Chris.
I think I want to say Josh Allen is most likely to lose you a league, but he does have that rushing floor that makes it really hard for him to have a truly, truly terrible game. Like, you see the games where he hasn't really thrown the ball well. You know, week 10, 266, no touchdowns, rushed for 2 touchdowns. The week before, 160 yards and a rushing touchdown. So it's really hard for him to have a total, like, the bottom falls out game. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, targeting these running quarterbacks really helps. So I would say probably Kyler Murray. We've seen
most
likely to lose. And I don't think any of these guys is particularly likely to win you a league. Ryan Tannehill's playing exceptionally well, better than we've ever seen. But the issue there is they're perfectly content to have him throw the ball. I think 22 times this week, was it 24 the week before? They're fine with that. And it's worked out the last couple of games. He has put up decent fantasy points regardless of the pass attempts, but that's not going to keep happening. He's not going to have the volume. So I actually think, despite the schedule, Josh Allen might be most likely to win you your league.
You answered the question correctly, so I will do it. Kyler Murray is the most likely to lose you a league. Are you sure? Did you need a most likely to win and lose?
Yeah.
Did I mess up?
Right. Well, that's what you were agreeing with Chris. He said Kyler Murray is the most likely to lose you a league.
It was a two-part question. You always frame these so weird in these emails. I don't even know where you get them from. It's like the weirdest font, like the weirdest little setup with the long line. I don't even know what you do with this. Where does it come from? I agree with Chris on Josh Allen too. I think he's most likely to win you a league because his rushing upside is so much bigger than even Tannehill and Kyler Murray. I want to say that Tannehill is most likely to lose. Actually, I'm probably going to answer Chris's. I totally said Chris didn't answer it correctly, and I'm going to repeat exactly what he said. The thing with Tannehill is that he's touchdown dependent in terms of passing touchdowns, but he does have some rushing touchdown upside. Here's my biggest concern with Kyler Murray. Is that when you look and like he saved, I mean, he got 13 points in a 4-point passing league on Sunday. He saved it with, you know, a rushing touchdown late in garbage time. When they shut down against bad teams, when they shut down against good teams, they shut down. I mean, they don't even try. It's crazy. Like against the Rams in New Orleans, I know he played well in two games against San Francisco, so that gives a lot of upside. But I almost wonder if San Francisco doesn't struggle a little bit with rushing quarterbacks. I mean, when he's getting limited, he just doesn't do anything. And Cliff Kingsbury is so bizarrely unaggressive when they're getting blown out. Like he doesn't like try and keep the offense going at a quick pace, which is always a little weird to me. And I just think the matchups are so bad between Pittsburgh and Cleveland that I would be scared to start Kyler Murray this week.
I don't think the matchup's bad for Cleveland, though, against Cleveland. I think it's bad against Pittsburgh. But the last seven quarterbacks who did not play for the Steelers have scored 19 or more fantasy points against Cleveland in 6-point per passing touchdown leagues. That includes Brandon Allen and Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I think this is really tough.
You're kind of a jerk.
Yeah, this
for
is tough.
Picking these three guys.
I actually think Josh Allen has the biggest chance to lose you the league because Baltimore makes guys look terrible. Pittsburgh's got a really good defense. And then New England. I mean, we already saw him have one really bad game against New England. That's his week 16 matchup. So, you know, I'd have a really hard time saying to sit him right now because he's playing so well. But I just feel like there's so much downside, even with the rushing totals.
Yeah,
yeah, it's tough. Let's see what they said on Twitter. I asked who's the most likely to win. I did not ask the most likely to lose. And Ryan Tannehill is blowing away the competition. I think it's because of the matchups, Oakland, Houston, and New Orleans, which I'm not sure there's more than one good matchup there, by the way.
He's got 59 pass attempts in three games, and he's scored 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Two of them on the ground. Like, that's just really hard to do.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Now, they might have to throw more against Houston, New Orleans. You know, that could help. But that he's got 60% of the vote. Kyler Murray has 23%. And Josh Allen only has 17% of the vote in terms of who's most likely to win you a league. Well, I'll tell you who's most likely to get you the best prices on tickets. That would be the SeatGeek app, of course. Download the SeatGeek app and use the promo code FFT. Again, promo code FFT. You get $10 off your first purchase. And you could use those $10 to like buy some hot dogs or something at the game or the concert or comedy or theater. And every purchase is fully guaranteed on SeatGeek. That's another reason why it's great. I know you might have a little trepidation buying online. You shouldn't. Not at all with SeatGeek. Every purchase guaranteed. And they have over 50,000 five-star reviews. This is a great app. It's getting more and more popular. It's all over the place. People are using it. I can tell you that I use it all the time. And I can tell you that I get better deals on SeatGeek because they search multiple sites, they bring in tickets from all around the web, and they tell you where the best values are. So look, you might not be going to a game or whatever tomorrow, but next time you need to get tickets somewhere, maybe it's a holiday gift, please use the SeatGeek app and use the promo code FFT to support our show. Promo code is FFT on SeatGeek for $10 off your purchase. Of your first purchase. Most likely to win a league and most likely to lose you a league out of these three running backs. Ronald Jones. Just please pass block Ronald Jones. He's got the Colts, the Lions, and the Texans. Oh, Bo my. Scarborough, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, and Denver. Two of those three on the road. And, Raheem Mostert at New Orleans, Atlanta, and the Rams.
No.
Yeah, not great schedules here. Not great options necessarily, but Chris, you can start. Most likely to win, most likely to lose you a league. Ronald Jones, Bo Scarborough, Raheem Mostert.
Ronald Jones probably most likely to lose you a league just because there's probably several thousand people who he already lost leagues this week because We had him so highly ranked. Expectations were so high. And you look at the results for the Buccaneers running game. They had two touchdowns. They just both happened to go to Peyton Barber. And this is one of those situations where what fantasy players want and what coaches want aren't necessarily the same thing. It's clear Ronald Jones is the most dynamic player in this Buccaneers backfield, but he got benched.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians said he missed a blitz pickup and you don't get to play. That's what he said. That's the direct quote. And you know what? It's hard to argue too much with it when Ronald Jones is only averaging 3.9 yards per carry himself. Like, he's been decent, but it's not like he's blown the doors off by such a huge extent that we can say it's obviously a terrible decision to bench him. He's just been fine.
So what's your answer? Who's most likely to win you? You said Jones most likely to lose you a league. Who's most likely to win you a league? Scarborough, Mostert, or
I guess it's Mostert if they really want to give him, you know, 15-plus touches. The problem is, you know, we had the report come out Sunday morning. I think it was Ian Rappaport saying that, you know, they wanted to make sure Matt Breida was fully healthy for the big game against New Orleans last week. Well, that says to me that, you know, when they don't give Tevin Coleman a big role in this game as well, they're probably looking ahead. They were able to win in week 13 with Raheem Mostert. We know he's talented. We know he's been good when he's gotten the opportunity. But they want Coleman and they want Breida to be able to carry them in a game where they need it. And I think that makes it less likely that Mostert's going to get a shot.
Will?
Yeah, Mostert's definitely the guy to win you the league. And I really think this is like a Goldilocks type of situation. There's a hot porridge, a cool porridge, and a just right porridge. And Bo Scarborough is probably just right. Like he's not in like a good way. He's, you know, he's going to get 18 to 25 carries on a
nothing else.
And and that team that everybody knows is running the ball because they don't have a quarterback, and he's going up against Minnesota and Tampa Bay, two of the best run defenses in football. So like I would rather start Bo Scarborough, I think, than Ronald Jones, because at least Bo Scarborough is going to run the ball, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like Ronald Jones, as you point out, got benched. If Bruce Arians decides he's pissed off at Ronald Jones, he'll just pull him off the field for the rest of the game, even though they're winning by 20 points against a Jaguars team that is more than willing to acquiesce rushing yards. So I would say it's Mostert and Jones for sure.
Okay, so Mostert most likely to win you, Jones most likely to lose you a league. Mostert is just good. I mean, that's the thing. I just want to see more from him because he just appears to be very good. Scarborough seems fine. The thing is about the Lions, like they've lost their last three games, but it was a one-score game in all three situations. They lost by 8 to Dallas, by 3 at Washington, by 4 against Chicago. So if they can keep it close, they can keep both Scarborough involved in the game.
Yeah, think but you what have happens to, if the Vikings go
exactly,
up by 12
he doesn't,
early?
He doesn't catch the ball at all. So if they get blown out by Minnesota, it could be a terrible game for both Scarborough. All right, let's go to our last one then. Most likely to win you a league, most likely to lose you a league at wide receiver. John Brown, same tough matchups as Josh Allen. Baltimore at Pittsburgh at New England. Deebo Samuel at New Orleans, Atlanta, and the Rams. DJ Chark, who has 10 or fewer PPR fantasy points in 5 of his last 7 games, and he gets the Chargers, Raiders, and Falcons. Most likely to win you a league and lose you a league, John Brown, Deebo Samuel, DJ Chark. Will, what do you think?
I would say that DJ Chark is most likely to lose you a league because we don't really know what the Jaguars are on offense. We know Minshew's back now starting, and he does tend to favor DJ Chark, and so that's good. But I just don't think there's a whole lot of consistency with what the Jaguars are doing. And I would say that John Brown is most likely to win you a league because I know the schedule's tough with Josh Allen, but his upside is so big. And I think they're starting to really find something there in terms of that offense. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a few deep balls down the stretch. He's been so consistent. Deebo Samuel, too, the part of the problem is maybe Debo's the guy that loses you the league just because he's been great, but you don't know that he's going to get 10 targets and a touchdown. He probably needs that long score to win, right?
That's the thing. I think Deebo Samuel is most likely to lose you a league because you look at the last 4 games, 112 yards, 134 yards, 8 catches in both games. So big production, 19 and 21 fantasy points. Last 2 games, he goes for 13 fantasy points and 11 fantasy points or 10, 12 fantasy points. So he's been really consistently good over the last 4 weeks. but only six targets over the last two games. He's had the big plays. He scored the touchdowns over the last two games. But since Emmanuel Sanders and George Kittle have come back, he hasn't been as involved in the offense. So I think there's a chance that a lot of people are going to look at Deebo Samuel heading into week 14 and say, this is a guy who I can rely on every week. And there's a chance that he goes out there, gets targeted three times, catches two for 21 yards and no touchdowns, and all of a sudden your season's over.
Yeah. I just got to bring up John Brown because his last two games, you know, he started this stretch. Basically what happened was the Bills playing well, John Brown extremely consistent, 50 or more yards every game, maybe except for one, I think every game, until the last 2 weeks. And that was the start of a very tough stretch of very good cornerbacks. And against Denver, he had two catches, 39 yards, and a touchdown on four targets. Mm-hmm. Against Dallas, he had three catches for 26 yards, and he threw a touchdown pass. So you've gotten away with having him in your lineup. But it hasn't been pretty, just like Deebo Samuel. He's really good, and I'm not sure that he can't produce against Baltimore and Pittsburgh. I don't think I want to start him at New England. But I agree Deebo Samuel is the most likely to lose you a league because, you know, exactly what Chris said. I would have to say DJ Chark is most likely to win you a league.
Agree.
I think he has the most upside, and he gets the Raiders and the Falcons in the final two games of the season. With Brown's tough schedule, I would lean Chark there.
Yep, I agree. Minshew being back can only help. I know, you know, Westbrook has gotten more targets lately, and I think that's really going back even to the last few games where Minshew started, but I still think you like Chark's big playability and Minshew's ability to extend plays really helps him out as well.
They didn't officially go back to Minshew yet, did they?
Yeah, they announced it today.
Oh, they announced it today. Oh, how about that? When we started, they announced it. Oh, good to know. Oh, boy, that should have been a topic.
They actually announced it, you know, 5 minutes before we started.
Really?
They announced it when we were supposed to start. You see what I did there?
Well, I was waiting for... Yeah, I was late, I know. I was waiting for... an announcement from the Jaguars, I guess, and I didn't see it, so I started the show and figured, well, it's not coming now. All right, so Gardner Minshew is back as the starting quarterback. How about that? And he is owned in 11% of leagues and will face the Chargers, who have the 8th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks in week 14. Will and Chris, thanks, guys. Good stuff.
Thank you.
See you, buddy.
Thanks a lot to Dr. Chow, to all of you for listening. I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you tomorrow with the Waiver Wire.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.